Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Forest, a safe place where we have the freedom to think about life without judgment. We take a look at society, we examine it, and we allow for the possibility of something new, something different. And now, here's your host, Alan Ritter.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is the fifth episode of An Emerging Forest. And as you can probably tell, or as I'll just tell you, I don't have a co-host this week. And Christy has actually been so kind to herself and to me to let me know that this really didn't suit her. So I'm actively looking for a co-host because Reverend Herbert Terry Power has rightfully said it's a lot better when you have someone to talk to and to react to what you're saying. So tonight, I'd like to start by getting back into the subjects of the first three episodes. Last week, a really great guest was on, Melanie Bartlett, and we talked a lot about the Produce Club. But this week, I'd like to get back into my perspective on what I think is going on here. And overall, the core of my perspective is that we're all here to have an experience. And it doesn't really matter what that experience is, because that experience is literally served up by what I would say is a highly controlled set of circumstances, and those set of circumstances we might not understand, but those experiences come to us and they build our soul. So there's literally this larger being, this massive recording of everything we've ever done. And in my perspective, it goes back way, way before this life actually began. It's an incomprehensible period of experience. And that's why our front actor, the person that we walk around as, can be embarrassed and can have these things happen to them and say, why is this happening to me? And it's why after some events happened in my life that somehow I have adopted this other where I'm not embarrassed anymore, because I believe, and I think I've thought about the mathematics of it enough, that I believe that it's all about all of the flavors of possible experience coming to us over a very, very long time, and all of it being required. None of it is a wasted time, because we're really here for such a short period of time, this is such a limited resource, this actual embodied time, that every particle is in its right place all the time. And what you get is you get an experience that you might not understand, but it's there for a reason. And it fills holes up, holes that are actually in what I call a soul skill set, or I've used the expression on past shows of there being a very, very large checkerboard. Or you could look at that and you could say it's a matrix, but each one of the squares on that humongous checkerboard is an area of life. And we're here once again to fill in more pieces into each of those various areas. Now, each of those various areas is truly massive. How do we get this passion? If you look at what I'm talking about, you can look at the squares on the checkerboard and you know, digging dirt in one or the other. And it's very mathematical and dry. But somehow we have this incredible passion. And where that incredible passion comes for every second of our life is the drive that our soul has to have these experiences. That passion isn't even a tiny flame to the huge fire of how much our soul devours these experiences to become a more experienced, broader soul. We can only feel a small part of that, but still we get up every day and we have these experiences. Whether our front emotion happens to be one of great joy or one of great sadness, we certainly have the experience. And of course, that front emotion is also part of the entire glass of wine that our soul is recording. So with that sort of as our preamble, I'd like to talk a little bit about relationships. So my overall theme is let's not be emotional or tied up too much about the comings and the goings of relationships, because everyone here is on the same game board doing exactly the same thing. So even though some people come and go in your life, we're all still in extended cooperation on the game board. We're all here to experience events that we're passionate about, that we're just in ecstasy to have every second of the day. So I call this space that we're in, this space of passion, there's really only one word for where we are, and where we are is the space called love. And every experience that we have, which is filling up our soul, is exactly that. It's an experience of love. When you are having this experience that's always an experience of passion, but when you have it with someone and you have something that they're experiencing too and you're meant to be with them, you'll be with them. And then when it's best that you move on, you will just move on. But the interesting thing about it, and one of the devices that many, many people use and has come to actually move things on, is it's a very interesting word. It's emotion. So you have an emotion pulling you towards someone, and you have an emotion pushing you away from a situation or from a person. And of course, that sets events in motion. Emotion is actually moving the game space. And when you have emotions, things in your life change. You have a strong emotion and you really feel strongly that you need to close off a relationship or you need to open a relationship. Things change and you have new experiences. So in the emotion, in the moment of the change that you're making, it might be that you're having an emotion that's actually causing the change. But it might also be that you're just being mathematical about it. And you're saying, here's a new person, and I like what they have on their resume, and it's something that fills in something I don't have, but it seems that we have enough in common so that we can probably get along. Or you look at, say, we won't get along at all, but the benefits of their experience to me, lacking a great deal of the experience they have, is just too much. So I should do it anyway, even though it's going to be rocky. So that could be in a personal relationship, which is still all about learning. That could be in a professional relationship. That could be in a mentorship. It could be a skill set that you know you're very, very far away from and you're not going to do well in the school, and you're probably going to fail, but you have to start somewhere, and starting somewhere in training is starting with mud on your face. So this is a very conscious process sometimes to actually look at your life and to say, I can't believe this, but this is my dream. My dream seems impossible right now. I want to, just speaking on my own, I want to change society. So speaking from my own dream, it looks impossible to me now. I have very little funds. I have a small, very small produce distribution business. So how do I begin? Do this monumental task, and how you start is you start with small steps. And this, you know, just in the last couple of days, a podcast that I did on the Produce Club with the Cosmic Switchboard out of Australia actually went live on YouTube. So these small, tiny steps are what you take. And you look and you say, oh, my goal is so far away. You don't look at the goal. You say the goal is there. The goal draws me forward, but I give myself permission to take small steps. And you don't discourage yourself. You can discourage yourself. I certainly do discourage myself. But I say, okay, what can I do today? What can I do tomorrow? Okay, today I can send out this week's invoices. It's not my favorite thing in the world, but it's today's task to do. Oh, I need to go look and see that the first order page for produce is all cleaned up and that there's no there's no train wrecks on there in the, on the page where people go in and put in, I want 5K, and this is where I'm going to pick up. There isn't anything that's going on there, because you basically have to go through all of your products. You go through your store every day and look at it and make sure everything's okay, because this is a very important start to my dream. So in the moment, it begins, and your dream begins with your permission to yourself to have your dream. And my purpose here is to explain some of the things, some of the ways I think about life, but also to explain what I'm doing as a result of why I think about things this way. And I've given myself permission to have my dream, regardless of how tiny the steps are toward it. And I think that that is the most important thing that I can ask of each person that listens to this, for them to give themselves permission to have their dream. Maybe you can only have your dream for 30 seconds a day as you sip your tea in the morning. You have enough time to have your dream in your eye, and you think about it, but then the rest of your day is very busy. But as long as you give yourself that 15 seconds or that 30 seconds of meditation or intention, that's enough. And I guess I'm lucky enough to be in a position where I don't have very much, but I get to walk in my dream all the time. I'm unemployed. One could look from outside and look at me and say, well, it would be better if you were employed. And I would look back at you and I would say, in the standard society view, better, yes. I might have more money. I might have what society would consider to be better choices. But I don't look at better or worse anymore. I look at what is. And I look at how it is. And I say, that is how it is supposed to be. And my shingles are certainly out there for employment and for other opportunities to walk in, and they have not. So I concentrate on what I concentrate every week, and I fill my hours with marketing for my business and having this experience as it's meant to be served for my soul. So let's get back and think about experience for a little bit. I don't think about a relationship ending, and your relationship ends and you might dwell on it for a long time, but I don't dwell on it anymore because I know that that person and myself are still in love, because we're still in this endless cooperation, but I'm just dancing over here on this square now, and they're not dancing with me anymore. So the real relationship never changes. It's just the in-the-moment relationship appears to change for those who are in the land of emotion. You can look at life and you can say, well, how do I interpret life? Do I interpret life as a storyline? I was a baby, I was a child, events happened, I became a teenager, I graduated from high school, I went to college. And many, many events happened along that timeline. Or frame in that perspective, life makes sense and life has a story. Or you could think of life in terms of skill sets. You could say, these are my developing skill sets in terms of food. Began my life as a, I would say, normal American, having normal American food, albeit being in a house of an academic sort of house where my father had ulcerative colitis, so he was having a special diet, and I certainly was not outside of that special diet. Lots of red meat, lots of potatoes, things like that for dinner. So then I always had these thoughts of, this isn't right for me. But I never, and I would do 3 or 4 days where I wouldn't eat meat or something like that. But it never amounted to anything serious. And then after I had my change of mind in 2005, I stopped eating meat. And then I've had a series of changes since then. So now I'm plant-based. So you could say, well, that's my food life. And that's a lot more condensed. Or you could say, what is my athletic life? Or what is my academic life? Or what is my meditative life? And how is that skill set grown over time, over being introduced to these different areas of life? How has my progression in the area of law or understanding of finance or many, many other areas, how has that changed, and how has that changed me? Because if you look at your life, you can look at your life and you could say, what do I know about the following areas that govern our lives? What do I know about dollar bills? What do I know about the medical practice? And you could say, well, gee, I kind of know the standard story. And then you say, well, I think I'm kind of ignorant if all I know is standard story. And you say, well, gee, I want to know a little bit about that. So as you begin to know a little bit more about each of these areas, it really changes your life, because you go from being ignorant to having even a small amount of upgraded information drastically changes your perspective. So life can be thought of in terms of just the standard progression and the standard flow of years, or it can be thought of in terms of what skill sets are you operating with and how advanced is each one of them, and that sort of governs how you dance. So if you're a blank in very many areas and maybe just one area is active for you, you're not a very flexible dancer. So then something really interesting to be said. You can say, whether you want to be a more flexible dancer, and then if you're being even more conscious about it, you can say, what area of practice do I really think I need to start in? And then if you're saying that, you can say, the one that would do me the most good is the one that I'm actually afraid of, or the one that I'm ignorant about, the one that I don't even know. And so if you start thinking about that, maybe chance will bring it into your life. Chance in location, or chance in, you know, meeting someone somewhere. And so a story from my own life is I had had the produce club, my produce distribution business. I started it when I was in Wayne, Pennsylvania. It was a good half hour or 45 minute drive from where I was living to actually get to the produce market. And I've moved around since then. And that produce club lasted for 3 years, 2010, 11, and 12. And then my mom got really ill and I had to shelve it. So I'm getting back into it. And it happened that in September 2015, I was running out of money. I asked just on Facebook, I said, does anybody have any place to stay? I'm going to be out of be homeless. I'm going to be on the street. And this time I don't have a car. So I'm really going to be up against it. Someone had a house, a very kind person, had a house in the Collingswood, New Jersey area, and they offered it to me for basically a really generous deal as far as rent goes, because they knew I was not in a very good financial way. And so my answer, of course, was yes. But then when I moved in, I realized by quote-unquote happenstance or luck or fortune that I was literally across the river from the produce market, 7 minutes away. And that sort of said to me, the universe is asking you to try the produce club again. And so I did. Because there it was, right in front of me, you should start this again. So that brings us to a really good time for the break. So I'd like to introduce the song this week. And the song is by Darv the Bard, one of my personal favorites. It's Green and Gray. See you on the other side.
The 1st of May, a man in black came walking into a wooden glade, following the sounds of pipes on this beautiful spring day, high from the music that they made. But what beheld him within that place? A look of recognition fell across his face. Oh Lucifer, oh Lucifer, why do you appear to me? For I am a man of God, a priest.
International Pagan Radio, a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week streaming radio station. We have informative Facebook page, interactive Facebook group, absorbing interviews with musicians, engaging shows with excellent hosts, and dynamic interviews with spiritual leaders. Come join us. We have the very best pagan music from around the world. We feature artists such as Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, Elaine Silver, Izon, Brian Hinkey, Robin Renee, Fawn, and so many more, all available for your listening pleasure 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are also available on TuneIn Radio, so go to www.internationalpaganradio.com. It's all pagan, all the time.
Welcome back to an emerging forest on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We We hope everyone was able to stretch their legs and get a drink. And now, back to Alan.
Welcome back, everybody. So before that great break, I was talking about circumstance and how circumstance confronts you with your dream, and how moving back to Collingswood confronted me with certainly tutoring again, which I did as much as it did and do as much as it allows me to do. But more so lately, and certainly all-consuming in the last half a year or so, has been this produce club, and of course the location of being moved by the spirit directly 7 minutes across the Delaware River from the produce outlets. So, of course, I have been lucky enough to start the produce club again and go and do a lot of work to see if other people are interested. And then now that I know other people are interested, to each week to say, how can I grow my business and have fortuitous events happen that people come to me saying, we're interested in joining with you, just to be able to breathe into my dream each week and to see the ember, not even so much as a flicker of flame, but to see the ember burn brighter each week, to learn a great deal about financials, about a business and how much to charge people, which has always been something that I never really had such a super grasp on, and to learn to be gratified to know that people, many of the people in the club really feel grateful to receive what, you know, it's a really good feeling to have reviews from people in the club, some of which were just relayed to me on last week's program, that people really feel strongly about the service that I provide, and I'm really grateful that they see what I see as far as what the service is and what I'm trying to start, even in this smallest of microcosms of life as we lead it. So within what I was speaking about in the larger sense, this story of the Produce Club has a lot of facets and it has a lot of skill sets. And you could say one of those skill sets that I've never been very good at is the financial end of a business and making a business run and making it financially stable. And I've had experiences in the past where I had a very large budget and there was a lot of squishy room in it and I could make a lot of mistakes. And at this point, there really aren't that many areas that are very squishy because I don't have that much money. And I seem to have been able to tune the present business over the first 6 months into something where I look at the financials each week and I really like the percentages coming out. You put a certain amount of investment in and you get a certain amount of money back out. And I really like those numbers. It's not a lot of money, but I like the number percentage, what I call the multiplication of one goes in and what comes back out and how much is that. And I feel strongly that those are good numbers. So you might say, oh, that's mundane. But for me, it's very much not mundane, because it's a drastic shift in how I've actually been able to handle that area of my life. And it means a great deal to me to actually be able to do something very concrete and actually have it work for me. The other thing that might not be apparent is I was always a very introverted person. I was, by events in my life, once again provided by my soul for its happiness, its ecstasy, I was very isolated from society. And so from about 11 or 12 years old, I didn't take part in many social events. And so one of the things that semi-consciously or provided by my soul was a business in which I am with people and serving people in my business all the time. It's what I do. I fetch produce, but everything else is personal relationships, and it's seeing people, and it's all giving people what they want and what they need, and knowing who they are and meeting them day in and day out. So the business is very much filling in another area of my life that was lacking in a way that my soul preferred to have it, to now fill it in all these years later when I'm, almost 56 years old, 55 or 56 years old. And there's just, how hard am I willing to work? To other experiences that I had over the summer when I was working for an internet company called Upwork. And they say, well, we're here, you're a fledgling person at Upwork, and we'll offer you this review job. And the review job was to read a 240-page ebook and then write a review on it, upload that review to Amazon, and then get back to the author of the ebook and say, I'm complete with that. And then the fee for that I received was a $5 fee, but took a dollar. So I got $4, but I got $4 for maybe 3 hours of work because I conscientiously read the ebook. So when you look at that and you break it down, well, what did I get? $2 an hour or something like that? But my choices were sit on my butt and not earn any dollars or take whatever opportunities came my way. And literally, the dollars that I earned from Upwork, which were not that many, I needed every single dollar to eat and to do basic things that I needed to do because the produce club was not producing very much at that point. It was a very young company over the summer, and it was just, some weeks I went to the overnight market where I deliver some parts of my overnight market to people, and there wasn't that much, and I wasn't making my overhead. So I actually lost money. So I needed these opportunities. So how many hours was I willing to work for $1? So you look at things like that, and you actually say, how hard am I willing to work in order to make my dream happen? Or some of the putting a backpack on with 40 pounds of produce and hauling a shopping cart with 60 pounds of produce and carting that over. I don't look at that as being anything other than strangely enough, fun. And strangely enough, something that I would do again in a moment, because every step that I walk, I'm walking in my dream. And I think everybody is like that. And everybody is walking in their dream. Whether you know it or not, that's what you're training in. And that's how I find all of the time of my life, when I say, I don't understand why I'm doing this today. But then I say, you don't understand, but what is your attitude toward doing whatever you're doing? And my attitude is, I know that the experience that I'm having is something that's needed, or I wouldn't be here. So I think we always try to have a little bit too much understanding of our lives when it's not understandable. And the more we're able to say, I don't understand my life, maybe someday I will understand my life, but maybe someday I will never understand my life. And we actually give ourselves permission to have more stuff going on in our lives, because if you're unable to deal with chaos beyond a certain level, you're not going to receive that life. But if you just say, okay, I don't care how much stuff is flying through the air, then stuff can start to fly through the air, and you can have that really massively disastrous life that I hope to have, and hope to have one day soon. So that's a little bit of a personal explanation about skill sets, about permission. And I think this is a really good place to take stock, because now we have what I termed when I was writing this down. Now we have a fledgling description, or like a version one description, of how I think the game that we're in works. And as I've said from the beginning, I think this is a game. I think that we have skill sets. I think this is, you know, some of the games that I played when I was, some of the games in my recording bank, I won't call it the past anymore, were all about role-playing games where you develop a character and it has skill sets and it has alliances, and I think that's what we're here to do. And we're here to meet people. And you can either say that you like an area of the world and you don't like other areas of the world, or you don't like skills, certain skills or certain parts of your life, or you're more kindly disposed toward one profession, or you'd like to be in one area of life and not in another area of life. You can react to the checkerboard on an emotional level. Or you can remove emotion from it, and you can say, I love everything, and I love everyone, being and every particle. So within that, what do I want to do here? What is my dream? And I look at the way the world is being managed right now, and I say, that is someone's vision. And it's not an unreasonable vision. I think it's a very fine vision. It's their vision. and they're going out and they're fighting for it, and they've given themselves permission to have it. In the same breath, I say, I have a vision of my own, and I have a dream of my own. And it is very, very unlike the present dream that is being manifest. Myself, permission to have my dream. And I look at the resume of the present management group or present management person. I don't know if they're a group or a person, so I'll just be inclusive. And I'll say, what are they manufacturing? They're manufacturing deserts, and they're manufacturing deserts in the material, looking in where they used to have their headquarters, their empire headquarters in West Africa, and then in the area of the Tigris and Euphrates called Baghdad. It's a big desert now, because that's what their policies do to verdant oases, which those two areas used to be before the empire came. And what are they turning the rest of the earth into? They're turning it into a desert. Somewhat like the Dune novels, where the one planet was turned into a desert. Arrakis was turned into a desert. So my vision of what I want is very, very much different than that. And that is the reason that I've called this show an emerging forest, because that's what I want to build. That's the philosophy of my society, the philosophy of creating more and more verdant life forms without, in the manifest sense, and within, in the mind, nurturing dreams, giving people first the perspectives through me talking and writing and seeing people and shaking their hands and serving them in my business, to say vocally and non-vocally, I'm here to do whatever I can to allow you to give yourself the permission to have your dream. Because I've given myself permission to have my dream regardless of the consequences, because only the consequences are only what I want to have. So they're only more experiences in the sphere of the game space that we're all in. And of course, the name of that game space, to me, maybe not to everyone, the name of the game space that we're in is called love. So once again, it's kind of interesting. I seem to be coming to the end of another show, and I seem to be once again in the position of motivational speaker, saying, I think tonight's show basically, to me, says, this is your Eden. This is the garden from which comes forth your dream. I've been so egotistical as to name my dream an emerging forest. Feels right to me. Without listening to the music, that felt right to me, and then listening to it at the break, it is right. So I really hope everyone out there will look at their life from a skill set perspective, look at what scares them, and maybe dip a toe into it in a constructive way. Take a class, go sit in an experience, be a safe distance from it, but pay attention to it so you can break the ice. and also to engage in deeper thoughts about what you want on a personal level, on an environmental level, on a larger scale level, because personally, to me, there really isn't any different from what I want, from what I have differences from what I want personally, and the politics of the planet. I want people's dreams to be fulfilled. I want their expansion to be catered to, because that's where the newness comes from. That's where the gifts come from. There to be an atmosphere of herding cats where it's just chaos and no one ever knows who's going to come out with the next great shift. So literally there's new things coming up left and right out of nowhere. And it's a very, very chaotic, strange place. But there's a lot of respect in a chaotic, strange place because everyone is more conscious of the relationship, and everyone is, even if they gain quote-unquote power, they're saying the next stripe of the rainbow comes from quote-unquote, the powerless. So they're incredibly nurturing of the quote-unquote weakest leaf or the weakest twig or the insignificant biota, piece of life over there. They're not saying, oh, that part can be let go. That part's trash. We don't need that anymore. They're saying, we need everything. Nothing can be removed. Nothing can be thrown out. So everyone to be more appreciative of themselves and to say, I am a treasure, a recording of an incredible amount of experience. And what I want in my deepest heart is something that I should actually bring out and that I should make happen. And to realize that it's really all about you, and we're all waiting for you to get about your great journey, just like I'm finally setting about my great task, if you want to call it that. I'd like everyone to set about theirs. So I think I'll use that as sort of a closing for this week's show. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I really appreciate everybody listening. And if you want to get in touch with me, my name, once again, is Alan Ritter. My email address is RITTER.ALAN88@gmail.com. I'm on Facebook at Alan Ritter. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.